And welcome back. St. Louis Public Radio is embarking on a brand new podcast project. It's called We Live Here. It involves a multifaceted examination of the many challenges we face in our neighborhoods and our region. We Live Here will be curated by reporters Emmanuel Berry and Tim Lloyd. They'll be with us in a couple of moments to talk about the project. But first, let's listen to their detailed explanation in this first We Live Here podcast.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems and the people they touch.
I'm Emmanuel Berry.
And I'm Tim Lloyd.
And from St. Louis Public Radio,
this is We Live Here.
This is our first podcast, and we're going to spend it telling you a little bit about what this podcast is about.
Yeah, We Live Here is this new thing from St. Louis Public Radio that basically looks at how racial and economic disparities shape who we are, what we think, and how we treat each other.
This is a podcast that's glued together with lots of voices and great storytelling, but We Live Here is not actually just a podcast. There's also going to be cool digital stuff like interactive graphs, videos, in-depth web stories, and events and programming, but we'll get there eventually.
And we're going to be doing this for months, maybe years, actually. We don't know for sure how long yet because this is complicated stuff. We'll be honest, that's our job. And it's likely some of you will get a little uncomfortable sometimes by what we talk about, but we don't want this to be painful.
You know, because we actually want you to keep listening
yeah.
to this show.
Yeah.
And yes, we know racial and economic disparities are nothing new to St. Louis or America, for that matter. But let's be real. Like many of you, the last few months have pushed us to rethink those divisions.
So to help you understand why we decided to embark on this project, let's go back a few months.
No justice, no peace. No racist police. No justice, no peace.
It started as a deadly encounter on a hot afternoon between a white police officer and an unarmed 18-year-old black man, Michael Brown.
Over the months that followed, the protests, the looting, the politicking, everyone was asking a variation of this question. Why did this happen?
And people started looking for answers in different places.
I strongly believe that our current education system has become a ladder to systematic poverty.
I do not want to be scared to have a son in America. Like, ain't you scared to have one? You know, like, let's be real. What do our sons got to look forward to?
Well, first of all, the police is the enemy right now. And like I said, they will continue to be the enemy to me until they can show me that I can trust them. I do not trust the police.
Our courts! Our courts!
We are standing here where we are disproportionately incarcerated, disproportionately uneducated, disproportionately shot down on the streets of this city. We are here because we've had enough.
That was Clifton Kenny, Monica Tomins, David Witt, and Tracy Blackman.
And lots of people say the problems are systemic. But systemic, I mean, that feels like it's so right out of a college seminar.
I took that college seminar,
oh, did
actually.
You?
Yeah, it was called the White Guilt Class, a full lecture hall. I mean, you took that class too, right?
Well, I took something kind of like that. But college lectures are one thing. And what's discussed in them, though, and those ideas often play out totally different in the real world.
I mean, yeah, people live these experiences. And that's what this project, this thing we're calling We Live Here, is about.
It's about figuring out what these so-called systems are, pulling them all apart and seeing where the systems bump up against real life.
At this point, people are probably like, what are these two people
talking
about?
We get that a lot,
yep.
But you made it this far, so let me give you some specifics. We live in one of the most racially divided parts of the country. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it's something the national media just discovered a few months ago.
And the stories that we're going to tell are rooted in that history of segregation. And that means we're going to be talking about race, but not your typical conversations about race.
Right. There could be stuff about race locked up in your brain that you don't even know about.
So we're going to do stories about how that stuff plays out in real situations, like what kind of job you go after or what kind of job you might actually get or how kids are treated in school.
And maybe even what could make a cop or a kid pull a gun.
So those stories all talk about race, but we're also going to be talking about housing and how in the world we have 90 municipalities in a single county.
And lest we forget healthcare.
Yeah, I mean, how people who live just 10 minutes apart can have drastically different life expectancies.
Jason Purnell, he's a professor at Washington University. He basically gives all of his time to studying these disparities.
I think the biggest gap was between 63106 and 63105, and that was that 18-year gap. Really telling the story about where you live matters for your health.
And here's co-pastor of South City Church, Mike Higgins, just before the grand jury decision.
I think Midwestern cities are kind of like dysfunctional families that have issues but don't really want to talk about those issues.
All right, so we've got some issues, but how do we start dealing with those issues?
Well, because I know everything and have all answers. I'm going to say, I mean, at least a place to start is with communication. And I'm not just talking about, like, communication or conversations about race that happen every few years after another racially charged incident.
And let's just be honest here. We are radio folk.
Public radio folk.
So you know we love having hushed conversations about race.
Race. On public radio. Sorry to creep you out, but we don't want to just talk to you through our podcast and through the radio. There are other means. We want this to be a conversation starter. We want you to talk to us in whatever way you want.
Yeah, so if you're into data, send us your numbers.
Or maybe you fancy yourself an artist, send us pictures.
Right, and if you just want to get on your soapbox for a little bit, that's cool with us. Just keep it respectful and we'll listen.
Because you are a part of this project.
We want you to come along with us as we report, turn over rocks, dig into the data, and sometimes just drive around the region and figure out what's going on.
I mean, obviously what we're talking about here, these issues, they aren't exclusive to just St. Louis.
Right. Issues of race and inequality are a national problem. And on some level, people are talking about this all over the country.
But, you know, here is where Dred Scott was denied his freedom. Here is the Del Mar Divide. And here is where Michael Brown was shot.
But even though here is a very divided region, we're also bound by those divisions because what happens in one part touches what happens in another. So that's why we're calling this project We Live Here.
Again, thanks for listening, and make sure you check out stlpublicradio.org for more updates on We Live Here.
And most importantly, stay tuned starting next Monday when we explore the jigsaw puzzle that is St. Louis County by taking one long drive up Lindbergh Boulevard.
After that, we'll be sending out new episodes every other Monday, so be sure to subscribe to We Live Here.
There we go. We made it.
We had that hold back at
you. We have to let you know who we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Emmanuel Berry.
And I'm Tim Lloyd. This is St. Louis Public Radio's We Live Here.
And now joining me in studio are the curators of We Live Here, Emmanuel Berry and Tim Lloyd. Nice job, guys.
Well, thank you, Don.
Sounds very good. Emmanuel, I'll start with you. You're going to have plenty to talk about, as you indicated at the end of the piece.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of limitless content to talk about. We're talking about all of these structures. We're talking about race, class, power, poverty. I don't know. I'm kind of overwhelmed about all the potential things that we're going to be talking about over the next year or so or more.
Well, that's the beauty of the concept, Tim. The fact is it is spread out over a year. Plenty of time to get into these things, which have had plenty of time over the decades, but still need plenty of time, unfortunately.
Yeah, we don't actually know how long we're going to be doing this for sure. We know for sure it's going to be a year. It could be much longer than that because, as you just brought up, there's a lot to get into. But what we want to do is not sort of throw everything at everyone at the same time. And that's sort of the benefit that we have of having this longer timeline to really pull things apart and look at them closely.
Mm-hmm. Emmanuel, following the shooting death of Michael Brown, there was all this discussion about having discussions. That's what this is all about, isn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, we want to also take this beyond discussions and keep these discussions sustained. We don't want this just to be, after an incident, we're going to have a bunch of conversations and we're going to have a bunch of workshops. We want this to be something we're constantly focused on and constantly reporting on, because I think that was something that kind of came up after Ferguson, is like, we haven't necessarily been talking about these things in journalism either, in the way that is consistent.
That's one of the things that has kind of bothered me throughout, and we've talked about this before. That is that the discussions come and go as incidents come and go and are rarely sustained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim, in terms of public involvement in this, I know you're trying on a number of different fronts to draw the listening public into this conversation. How are you going to do that?
Well, I think, you know, in part by doing shows like this, but also, you know, we know that podcasting is just an explosive form of digital media right now. It's getting really, really popular. And what we're hoping to do is connect with people who maybe don't even own a radio, don't want to listen to the radio, want to listen to a number of different things through, say, their phones. So that's one part of our outreach. But then we're going to be out in the public doing events and some things that are sort of in the works. We don't have all the details nailed down yet, so we want to take some time to get that figured out. But we're going to be out in the community a lot.
One of the things that I've heard is having listening booths at various events and using artists. How might you do that, Emmanuel?
Yeah, we've talked about having artists, asking them to represent our draw. One of the, kind of the statistics or one of the things that we're talking about, whether that has to do with disparities, and having them visually represent it in their own interpretation and maybe holding an event around that. Or we talked about doing like walls where people could write kind of their thoughts in with a posed question.
I think you're calling them confession walls.
Confession walls, yes. Yeah. That's the term. So in that sort of way. So lots of different things potential with this project.
Tim, would you be looking for a political involvement in the discussion?
Define what you mean by political involvement.
Politicians.
It'll be interesting to see how things play out. I mean, we're definitely going to be looking at policy a lot. And it strikes me that, and I don't know if you felt this way as well, but post-Ferguson, that much of the discussion falls into really two categories, hearts and minds, so how we think about each other, and then also the policy question. And really what we're trying to do with this show, with this project, is look at where the two meet, so that intersection. I'm sure that public officials would, they have plenty of opinions about that.
Where do you think this ultimately is going to take us all?
Well, I hope it takes us to a place where we understand the issues a little bit more, not just the general public, but even as reporters in this newsroom, that we understand the context that people are living their lives in every day in the St. Louis region.
Manuel, same question to you. Do you see it exactly the same way?
Yeah. I mean, the project, we called it We Live Here. I mean, when I think of that phrase, We Live Here, I think about the idea that there are so many people who live here who we don't acknowledge. And in a way, I hope that that's kind of what the project does, is it brings voices to, gives people the opportunity and shares kind of that there are these lives and that we all live in this space.
One of the interesting things of what's happened since Ferguson is the fact that people have suddenly realized that this has been going on for a long time. The issues that were raised, social justice issues and others, have been around for a long time. They didn't just emerge August 9th.
No, it's been a long history that's led us up to this point. And it's time to talk about it and address it in a sustained manner.
Your thoughts, Tim, with regard to that discussion and the fact that people really have been living with this a long time without knowing it, really?
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, it's just something people do. They sort of assume that things are just the way that they are. And then we hit this flashpoint like we saw in Ferguson, and it causes us all to question, well, what's going on around us? And I think that what we're really trying to do is capitalize on that question. Why did this happen? And perhaps what can we do about it?
Do you think there's any danger that people might begin to think that this only involves Ferguson? And miss the fact that there are so many other communities that are so similar to Ferguson?
Well, we state that pretty clearly, I think, in the first podcast, and we'll certainly be doing it throughout the show, that this really isn't just about Ferguson, a single municipality in North St. Louis County. This is about underlying issues and disparities between different races and different income levels of folks who live in the St. Louis area. But really, it's a national issue.
Yeah.
You know, did you want to add
something?
I was
just going to say it's not the Ferguson show. Just to be clear, this is not the Ferguson show.
That's kind of what I wanted to bring out. We don't have too much time left, but one of the things that I found stunning again through your first podcast was the For the Sake of All report, and Jason Purnell in on it, and talking about that disparity in human life, the 18-year gap, as it's put in the piece, between the life expectancy in certain zip codes. In more affluent zip codes, it's 18 years longer than in the other zip codes, of which Ferguson would be one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and we're really going to be digging into that. Yeah. Why is that? What decisions, what conditions do people live in that make that statistic true? And we're going to take you through kind of that reporting process with us.
Did you find that as stunning as I did, Tim?
Oh, it's just shocking, isn't it?
Absolutely is. What's next? I mean, where do we go from here in terms of podcast number two? By the way, the podcast is on our website right now.
Yes.
Okay. So it's available for those who didn't hear it just a couple of moments ago. But where do we go from here in terms of content?
Well, the second show is going to look at something that people have known about for a long time here in the St. Louis region, the number of municipalities in St. Louis County. And in particular, we're going to look at the history of it and why there are so many different municipalities, which is sort of there's some dispute about exactly why that is. But more importantly, we're going to look at how that shapes individuals' perception about, based on where they live within St. Louis County, based their thoughts on race, class, hopes for the future. And I think it's going to be quite revealing to hear these different perspectives just based on where people live.
Emmanuel, you're a relative newcomer to this community. Did you have any idea coming here what you were getting into?
Oh, no. I can't even, like, it's been quite a shock, especially since I came here to talk about race and as a race and culture reporter. Some people say I hit the jackpot. I guess it depends on how you look at it. But no idea kind of what I was walking into. But it's been great to explore and report on so far.
Well, I can't wait to hear the future work that two of you are going to be doing, Emmanuel Berry and Tim Lloyd. Thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the good work. The podcast number one was outstanding. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Don.
Tomorrow on this program, the men behind the popular Radiolab program heard on NPR stations all over the country, Jad Abumrad and Robert Krolwich. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.